receive our own pastor. Amen. The angel of this house. Amen. 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 Bishop Verdell Jones. Let's receive with a heart. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Suffragan Bishop.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. On this Jesus journey, I want Jesus. Walk with me. Be my friend, Lord. Be my friend. Be my friend, Lord. Be my friend. On this Jesus journey, Jesus, walk with me. Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. Hand, Lord. Hold my hand. While I'm on this Jesus journey, I want Jesus walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. I'm on this Jesus journey. I want Jesus walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Oh, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. Take my hand. Keep me safe, Lord. Keep me safe. Keep me safe, Lord. Keep me safe. I'm on this Jesus journey. One more time. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus all with me. And I'm on this. Oh, I want Jesus walk with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Joy that gets hard sometimes. Hallelujah. You get lonely sometimes. But as long as I know Jesus, gonna walk with me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to walk with me. You don't have to walk alone. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. We are blessed today to be among the saints of God. The blessings that we receive from God, we don't deserve them, but yet we're blessed. Praise God for all of our testimonies that are going up before the Lord, all the songs of Zion that are going up. Amen. To worship the Lord that we serve. The Bible has declared to us and commanded us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good And I know that he is. Thank God for his blessings and those who've been traveling over the highway, that God brought them back safely. So many things happening out there. And what is so amazing, stuff can happen just like that. Amen. So many things out there to distract us. In just a split second, amen, you could be gone into eternity. But thank God for the blood that keeps us day by day. We're blessed, amen. Sometimes we don't even know it. I think I heard somebody say that sometimes, you know, people, we as a people generally take things for granted. Everything's been going on all these years and everything, you know, you get up every day, you go to work every day, you go to this place, you go to that place every day, return home. But a lot of folks didn't happen that way. They thought they were going to make that journey. They thought they were coming back home, but they never made it back. But for us to have made it back, amen, I can't imagine anybody not just stopping to give God thanks. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. He said, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Amen. God has been directing some folks' paths. And some of us, maybe most of us, really don't deserve the blessings of the Lord. But because he is a merciful God, amen, he said, okay. I think I heard somebody talking about the prodigal son today, amen, when he left home, and amen, you know, when he got out there, thought everybody loved him, but he found out there was a hard road to hoe out there. But when he came back home, and it wasn't smelling too good, wasn't looking too good, but his father didn't even think about where he'd been, where he had been, how long he's been gone, what he smelled like, what he was wearing. He just ran and grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of the real father. So we thank God for this Father's Day. We wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day. And certainly that is a tremendous responsibility. Amen. Being a father. So we thank God for all of our fathers and pray that God would tremendously bless you. But we're getting ready now to receive the word of God. Amen. I tell you, I love church and I love the songs of Zion and I love testimonies and hearing folks talking about the wonderful things that God has done. But there's something about the word of God, because the scripture has declared that heaven and earth gonna pass away, but what? My word shall not pass away. Then another one says, without faith it shall be impossible to please God. And it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without who? The preacher. How can he preach except he be sent? God has sent forth the preacher today. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a word from the Lord, Deacon. Hallelujah. I believe that God has a word for everybody in here. So pay very attention, very close attention to what the Lord is saying through the preacher. In the person of our own assistant pastor, Elder Dr. Thomas Purcell Jr. Let us praise God as he comes in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sir.
God is good. Thank you, Jesus. And he's good all the time. Let us bow our heads. Father, in your sweet holy name, Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come into your presence once again. We thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of Numbers. We're going to read out of the book of Numbers, chapter 11.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God.
We're going to start reading at verse 18. When you have it, stand on your feet. Amen. Gonna start reading at verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves again tomorrow, And ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it comes out at your nostrils, and it becomes loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why come we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hands waxed short, that thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The thought for today's text, which is a question, is the Lord's hands waxed short? Is the Lord's hands waxed short? Subtopic, a good father knows best. A good father knows best. Amen. We find that in the beginning of Numbers, we find that the people of Israel were complaining. And apparently, they are getting tired of eating manna. And manna was the food that was provided by the Lord. And I would say it was one of the best foods that a person could eat. But yet and still they were complaining. They were getting tired of what they were eating. Complaining children can anger fathers. Complaining children can anger fathers. You know, I know a lot of you all didn't know my natural father, but my wife knew my father, my natural father. And if I were sitting at a dinner table with him, and if I had the notion to complain even one time, I would most likely have to get up from that table and not eat and be hungry for a little while. Most likely. Because what was set on the table, if I didn't like it, I didn't have to eat it. But in turn of not eating the food, I wasn't going to get anything else either. And most likely, I would be hungry for a while. Complainers. A good father knows best. A good father does. One of the things that complaining will do is that it will open doors for the enemy. Complaining. If a church is in the posture of complaining, it will open doors for the enemy to come in. The Bible says for us not to sow discord among the brethren. Complaining will help to usher in things that are not wholesome. It's like leaving the back door open. Or leaving a door open in the house that your father didn't want to have open. There was, in our house, my dad used to get on me about keeping the garage door open. Now, he didn't want me to leave the garage door open. And the reason why is because the garage always had a bunch of flies. Now, if there was food in other parts of the house, if the other parts of the house had a nice fragrance, or whatever, if I were to leave the garage door open, flies would be all over the house. And they would be getting into a lot of stuff. And if you had an open garbage can in your house, guess what the flies would do? The flies would get in that garbage and they would lay eggs. And when they laid eggs, the eggs would have spores as maggots. And when maggots are formed, or when they come forth, they cause a stinking fragrance, which is not a fragrance, it's an odor. Detestable odor, the old folks called stank odor. Common language, what's that stinking? One thing that men have to do, fathers must do, and it's their responsibility, the fathers are to enforce the children to keep the doors closed. The fathers are to enforce the children to keep the doors closed. Because man has been charged with the responsibility of doing certain things in the family. If I were to just let my son do anything and my wife, she said, oh, he's my baby. Don't you do anything to my baby. If I don't do anything to that baby, when that baby gets old, it might knock his mother down and knock me down too. I have to do something about that baby, because why? God is going to hold me responsible. Why? Because I'm the head of the house. If you're the head of the house and you just letting your family do whatever it wants to do, you're going to have to give account to God. Not the mother, but the father. I know. I love you. You know, I love you. We have good saints here. But still, the truth is the truth. And the Bible said that the truth shall set you free. Lord, have mercy. It's the father's responsibility. The children of Israel, they complained. They had manna, and they complained. And the Bible said that God sent afar from God, went on to the uttermost parts of the assembly. Burn them up. You know, sometimes it's the responsibility of fathers to nip it in the bud before it gets away. You got to stop that thing before it gets away. If you see something going on, if a good father sees something going on, it's for him to nip it in the bud. In other words, stop it before it gets out of hand. Amen. 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 Lord, have mercy. Nip it in the bud. Stop it before it gets out of hand. Because if it doesn't, after a while, it just gets way out of hand. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to wonder why my late pastor seemed like he'd let this person go, and he seemed like he'd let that other sister go and that other brother go. But when it came to me, Bishop, he jumped on my case. And I used to wonder, why are they jumping on me for? You know, that other sister done this, that other minister, that other brother done this over here, and then he is going to come and jump on me. And he would. He'd jump on me. Everybody said, oh, he's so nice, Pastor. He's just so sweet. He was. But he used to tighten down on me. Maybe, Lord, maybe saw some potential. I don't know. But he did. There was one day, I was emceeing at the church. That was my duty, partly MC of the church, you know. And this brother came in. He was a minister. I know he was a minister. And I invited him up to the pulpit. Wasn't nothing wrong with that, I thought. Then later on, my pastor, he gets me in the back room. I thought, oh, no, now. He said, I don't want you never do that again. I said, now what did I do this time? He said, well, I don't know anything good that he's done. I don't know anything bad he's done, but I don't know anything good that he's done. I said, now how am I supposed to know? But did he get on me? Get on me for stuff? But you know, he had his reasons for doing stuff. Maybe he's thinking the other person is doing all right, I better nip this in the bud before it gets too far too gone. Before it gets out of hand. Maybe he thought some of them other ones already got out of hand. They need a whole lot of work. I don't know. Y'all pray for me. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus. You know what? The Lord knows what you need. Is there anything too hard for God? He knows what you need. That the children of Israel, they were lusting after flesh. They were lusting. Don't you know a little baby will eat just about put a whole lot of stuff in his mouth it's not supposed to have in his mouth? Amen. And it's the duty of a good father. Oh, no, you don't, baby. No, you don't. Mama might be on the telephone talking. Yep. A good father said, wait a minute. Watch out, that baby. You know. Get that baby. You know. A good father. How many people do you know, a parent, they going to let their kids eat popsicles all day long? Popsicles for breakfast? Popsicles for lunch? Popsicles for dinner? Like Forrest Gump, just shrimp for supper, shrimp for dinner, shrimp for lunch? No. No. But a good parent, it's going to make sure that child has wholesome food. Food that will make it grow up and be strong. Amen. God knows what we need. And sometimes we won't think we don't need. The children of Israel said, give me flesh, I'll die. I had onions in Egypt. I had all this other stuff in Egypt to eat. Cucumbers in Egypt. I had all this stuff. And the Lord God just gave us all this manna. I'm sick and tired of it. But you know, manna was something you could boil it. You could eat it. You could boil it. You could fry it. You could stew it. You could bake it. You could do anything you wanted to eat, and it was still going to come out good. It was going to taste like fresh oil. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We need that fresh oil. We need fresh oil today. God knows what he's doing. Lord Jesus, Lord have mercy. A good parent knows what to give. So we have the scene where we have the man of God, which will come to my next point. Point number two is Moses as a leader. Moses as a leader. You know, sometimes leaders, pastors, they get tired. Sometimes they have some beautiful saints, lovely saints. But every now in a congregation among the sheep, you have an old goat. I know I've talked about these goats before, but if you're a pastor, a leader, you got to talk about goats sometimes.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Old goat sometimes. You got some folks that's going to be hard to deal with.
Amen.
Say, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then the spirit or the attitude that they have is downright nasty.
Amen.
Nasty.
Amen.
Nasty attitude. You know why? Because they're always complaining. They're always grumbling about something. They're always grumbling about something. I don't know why I won't do that. I don't know why he won't have it like this before. I don't know why he ever. He should have had it like that yesterday. He didn't have it like that last year. I don't know why he talked to me like that. Make me sick. But see, that's not a good attitude. We have to learn how to monitor our hearts. When you have a church that has an atmosphere with not a lot of griping and all that type of stuff, you can see God move in the congregation. Because you don't have all that stuff. You know, the thing that will distinguish you among everybody else is what's on the inside. And that's on the inside should be holy, and that what's on the inside should reflect on the outside. If you have the Holy One on the inside. That's why the Bible says you have to put that flesh under the subjection of the Holy Ghost. You got to get with you. You got to crucify that old flesh. Because you don't do it, it's going to raise its old ugly head. Just like a bunch of weeds in the garden. You know, I have problems. I do. I really have problems with potato bugs. I really do. I got problems. I got about 1, 2, 3, 4 plants with potato bugs. And I'm trying to keep my garden natural. I'm trying to keep it natural. I don't want to put a whole lot of chemicals and stuff on it, on my potatoes. So I Googled it, and I found out that they go and they really pick the bugs off the potatoes. They pick the bugs off the potatoes, and they put the bugs in a solution of dishwashing liquid, soap. And that's how they kill the male bugs. And then you got to get rid of the eggs. You might have to squish the eggs. I know it sounds gross. I know people don't like that. But you got to squish these eggs. You got to get rid of these eggs. Because if you don't, and the next day when you come back, they're going to be back. I went out there and I got them bugs and they done what it says. And I don't think I got all the eggs. And guess what? They're back. And then I went again, and I done it again. But I began to realize that you have to fight them potato bugs almost every day. They get less and less. I mean, they get less and less. You find out what you're doing. And then you come out there, you might not see any. You might see one or two. Instead of seeing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you might just see one or two. Then that means you're controlling the potato bugs. Well, it's the same way with the life of a child of the king. You got to watch that thing. You got to control those bugs that come into your mind where the devil's speaking to you. And you got to control it so they won't lay eggs in that mind. You know, you act a pastor knows, bishop knows. If a saint is walking funny, God gave him that. He's a pastor. He knows when somebody is walking contrary. If you don't believe it, just stay around them for a while. Just hang around them for a while, and after a while, he's going to know. Because the fruit that you bear is going to tell on you. The devil tells on himself. You know, I had my pastor one time. He had me to work in the tearing room. I'm working in the tearing room with this other sister. We was tearing with folks. We were working in the tearing room with people. And this fella, he was there. And after a while, we were doing okay. Saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Sometimes I get happy in that tearing room. Praise him! Well, I get happy in that tearing room. But you got to be quiet because the other folks, they trying to break through. They speak, but you can't be, hallelujah. You got to just hush a little bit and listen, you know. And sometimes hard to control yourself because you want to jump and do everything in there, you know. But this particular time, the brother, he was tearing, and then all of a sudden, his voice changed. It got real deep and stuff. I said, uh-oh. I said, I got to get some help. His voice changed, got deep, and something was coming, or something was manifesting itself, and I didn't like it. And I didn't know exactly what to do, but I did know, go get help. I ran out that door and said, y'all pray. I did. The revival was going on and stuff. I said, y'all pray, you know. And they said, go get the pastor. So we went, got my pastor. And he went on in there. And, you know, he was kind of laid back, man. He just went in there, just as cool. Like it's a nice summer breeze blowing. I said, he went in there, and he did come out, and the brother was still in there, and he looked at me, he saw the devil tell on himself. And he found out what the problem was. He said, just give the devil time, he'll tell on himself. And the pastor knew what was going on. But I said all that to say is don't let the devil get in the hand of mine. Don't let him do it. Fight it! Lord have mercy. Fight it! Because when you are in favor with God, and moreover you ask of him, you have to ask yourself the question, is there anything too hard for God? Has his arms, has his hands waxed short? The answer is no. Lord, how much? You know, the thing about the conversation that the Lord and Moses had, Moses said something like this. He said, am I these people's babysitter? Did I birth these people? These people want this flesh to eat. They just griping and complaining. Makes me sick. Lord, go on and kill me. Moses was meek, man. He said, Lord, I'm just a Jesse. Are you abusing me? And Lord, I can't come up to par. I'm just a worm in your sight. Moses was a meek man. Go on, kill me, Lord. I don't know what to do. Go on, kill me. You know, those folks had to have been getting on his nerves. But the Lord had a remedy. The Lord let the spirit that rested on Moses rest on his helpers. It talks about the 70 and the officers, and that spirit that Moses had rested on his help. That same spirit. Meek man. Endued by God. Empowered by God. Not no complaining. No griping among his help. Not in this situation. You know, the devil, he still raises up his ugly head. You know, he still tried to get in there with priests and all that. He's still going to try. But when God fixes it, when he fixes it, he does a good job. Lord Jesus, Moses, the Spirit of God. You know, when the Lord is ready to place you in a position, most likely what will happen is the people that have watched you, they have looked upon your life, most likely there are going to be some of the ones that pray for you to help you in whatever your next stage is in the ministry and life. There are going to be some of the people that help you. It's kind of like an ordained thing. I don't really know why, but if you notice, when Moses was about ready to depart the scene, he prayed for Joshua. And that spirit that Moses had of leadership capacity, ability, whatever he had in him, was therefore passed to Joshua. Mm-hmm. Obedience, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Oh, Jesus. A good father will meet the needs of his family. Point number three, a good father will meet the needs of his family. The Lord said, now sometimes you make them mad, they're going to give you too much. You make them mad, you know. I had a cousin of mine. My grandmama told her, I think, don't get in that pie. Let that pile on. And those rules applied to all that heard. They applied to all. Me as well, if I was in that room, that meant not only you, everybody in here that hear my voice. Children, don't get in the cake or don't get in the pie. Well, you always got somebody hard-headed. Again. And I had another little hard-headed cousin. And she decided she was going to get in the pie. And she got in the pie. I guess she said, well, I just take his beating and whooping. Whatever I had taken, eating this pie would be all worth it. But grandmama didn't do that this time. She sat down and made her eat the whole pie. Lord have mercy. Gave a whole thing. And I guess she was about like the children of Israel when it felt like you ate eating so much, feel like it's going to come out of your nose, out of your nostrils. You sick of eating it? And I guess she did get a pretty good stomach ache for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They ate. He had quail for them. They lusted. And God said, I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to fix it. Be careful. For what you ask for, you just might get it. Be careful. For what you ask for. Make sure you want it because you just might get it. The Lord gave it to them. They were complaining in the midst of them. In other words, from what I gather, not all of them was complaining. Some of them was complaining. There was, you know, some for, some yes, some no, some okay, some. But when you have that, when you have a situation that is disturbing and everybody's confused, it brings forth confusion. And when you're confused, you can't move forward as a unit. Everybody's been in the military. You got to move forward as a unit. When the CO says move, you got to move. And everybody's got to know what they're supposed to do because you got to move in a unit. See, that could be a bunch of you, but you got to move in a unit. Before a church can move like it's supposed to, there can't be a whole lot of confusion in the midst. Confusion. A good father knows about confusion. We have a father that was mindful of us. We have a father that was mindful of us. And he wrapped himself up in flesh. and he tabernacled among us. Whatever temptation that we undergo, he's already been through it. Whatever confronts us, whatever pressures of life, whatever anxiety, whatever feelings that we might have, he's already experienced them. We have somebody that we can go to, fall on our face, ask him to give us strength to help us in a time of trouble. That person that I'm talking about today is Jesus. Jesus. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, the one thing I say that a lot of times if you don't know something, you know, if you're confused about which way to go, if you're in leadership, if you're a father, if you're confused, all you had to do is fall on your knees and say, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge to go and be before his people. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for all that. He just wanted to know how to go in and out before his people. And God gave him that. You know why? We serve a Father that knows. And there's nothing too hard for God. Has God's arms waxed short? Amen. Y'all pray for me. I'm finished.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to know today, if there's one today, if you don't know about the Father, hallelujah, won't you come today? Jesus died, he bled for you, he died on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you come today? Won't you come today? Thank you, Jesus. There's room at the cross for you. Thank you, Jesus. He knows what you're going through. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you come today? Won't you come today? Thank you, Jesus. For you. Thank you.